Isaiah chapter 10, verses 3 through 4 tells us, "And what will ye do in the day of visitation?" What will ye do in the day of visitation? Very, very direct question here. "And the desolation which shall come from far, to whom will ye flee for help, and where will ye leave your glory?" Verse 4, "Without me they shall bow down their under the prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." I want to focus on the first phrase of verse 3, which says, "What will ye do in the day of visitation?" Luke chapter 19, verse 44. Got it? Say amen. Verse 44 of Luke 19 says, "And shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." And then Acts chapter 2, verse 1. We'll read through verse 4. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly," when that day of Pentecost had come, "suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Amen. For the next little while, as long as the Lord will help me, I want to preach on this subject, and perhaps it's obvious already. You may have already drawn the title yourself. But the subject that I want to talk to you for as long as the Lord will help us is the day of visitation. The day of visitation. Amen. I want to ask you to lay down your Bibles and let's ask the Lord to visit with us in this service. Can we do that? Let's talk to him right now. Jesus, we're thankful for what we feel here. Thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost that is in this house. Thankful, God, for that restoration power that is in this sanctuary. Lord, the restoration power that is in your blood. I pray, God, in this service that you would exhibit that power. Lord, let the anointing of the Holy Ghost destroy every yoke. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. It is a privilege to have each of our guests here with us this morning. I don't want to overlook you. If this is your first time here, amen, let me just say, you are our guest this morning, and we're blessed to have you with us. Amen. And you have entered into a Pentecostal church on Pentecost Sunday. But there is perhaps a misnomer, a mischaracterization of Pentecostals that we're just about being crazy and so on. Amen. Yeah, we're crazy. I won't take that away from you one bit. I wouldn't be the pastor of this church if we didn't believe in being crazy, because they couldn't have elected a more crazy man. But there is a purpose. There is a distinction about that. It is not being crazy for the sake of being crazy's sake. Amen. For example, this subject title that I've selected for this service today is not just a happenstance. Brother Nelson and I, we did not sit in my office and plan out this service. We didn't calculate. We didn't do any of that. But the Holy Ghost, he knew what would happen in this service. And so he prepared this service in the way that he has. Every single song that was selected, every word that was prayed by your own voice, God knew, amen, that it would be prayed. He knew that it would be said. And God has a purpose and a plan for these next few moments. Amen. The day of Pentecost, I'm not just hearkening back to that, but there was a very distinct purpose for Pentecost. There was a very distinct reason for this day. And the reason is, as I have already mentioned, is for the complete and total restoration of those who would make themselves, that would avail themselves of the power of the day of Pentecost. Amen. In Scripture, the Bible uses, and I might as well get into my notes here because I want to make a little bit of progress. I've got a lot of ground to cover, but I don't want to be so busy about these notes that I miss what the Lord is trying to do. It's very evident to me that God is in this place. It's very evident to me that God has a purpose and a plan in this service. And so I just want, amen, to raise your awareness. I want you, amen, to recognize that God is already working in this service. Amen. In the Scripture, the Bible uses multiple types of time, various descriptions of time or intervals when he would visit with his people. Now, I've chosen as the title, the day of visitation. But you can read in your own Bible that in one set of passages, the Bible uses the term time. So it would be the time of visitation, or as we have used today, the day of visitation. Or thirdly, the Bible uses the year of visitation. But these are three distinct descriptors of a given point, a singular point in time where God planned to meet with his people. Amen. That it wouldn't be just a passive thing, but that there was a, I heard one man preach about God's calendar. And when God makes a promise, he marks it down on his calendar. God never forgets. There are times throughout the pages of God's word, the Bible uses this phrase, and God remembered. Amen. Almost implying that God has the capacity to forget, but God is perfect. And so if God has ever given you a promise, friend, if he gives you a time frame, you can mark it down. God is going to fulfill that promise. He's not a man that he should lie. He's capable and willing to meet the promises that he has made to his people. No matter how long it's been, no matter, amen, for in the instance I'm thinking of for the children of Israel, they were in bondage for 400 years. But about 400 years prior to that time, God spoke to a man by the name of Abraham and said, your people are going to go into bondage. And on this day, I'm going to deliver them. Before, Brother Larson, before they ever entered into the chains, God knew where they would be, and God already had a plan for them to be liberated. Amen. So your circumstance, your situation does not catch God off guard. Amen. He knows. He's able to help you in your situation. Amen. But as our title would suggest, there are particular days or times, or as we've read, as I've mentioned, years where God would specifically purpose to visit with one or another. And throughout the Old Testament, we see this happening over and over and over again. And in many cases, to be honest with you, it's a negative connotation where God is visiting with his people. I'm not going to take all the time in the world to read all of these scriptures, but you can read in Jeremiah 8 and 12, and Jeremiah 10 and 15, Jeremiah 11 and 23. In each of these cases, the Bible is telling that God is going to bring judgment in his day of visitation, or in the time of their visitation, or in the year of their visitation. You can read those on your own time, as well as Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 12. But the reason I believe that God brings judgment in these cases where he is dealing with the children of Israel, the reason that the Lord brings judgment in those instances, in those days of visitation, is because they chose, the children of Israel chose to reject the command of God. They chose to disobey. They chose to neglect God's request, God's command for them. And at risk of getting too far ahead of myself, Scripture tells us that God sent Babylon to capture the nation of Israel because they would not hear. When the Lord sent a prophet with notice of his soon visitation, the children of Israel would not listen. This is an example of this, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 19. Because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord. The Lord is appealing to the children of Israel. Said, I sent my prophets. I sent men with a message. I didn't wait until the last minute. I sent them early. I sent them often. I sent them frequently. And the purpose of the prophets was to help you know that there is coming a day of visitation. To help you understand that someday I'm going to require of you the things that I've commanded. Amen. The Bible tells us that we think that God's judgment doesn't come because it comes slowly. But rather, let me just tell you, amen, the reason the judgment of God comes slowly is a form of mercy. It's used to extend to you an opportunity to recognize, hey, I want to live for God. I want to correct this. I want to walk with God. Amen. God gives us very distinct commands, and God means it when he commands us. God is not just playing with us. He's not just giving us, a description, something to be religious. But the purpose of God's commands, to you as an individual are distinct and purposeful. Amen. But the Lord's cry in Jeremiah, through the prophet Jeremiah, is that yet you would not hear. Wouldn't hear it. And this is the pattern. This is the pattern that happens over and over for the chosen people of God, children of Israel, throughout the Old Testament. Jeremiah is one of the instances here, but you read also in Isaiah where God reaches out to them. The Bible calls them a backslidden nation in that book. And they repeatedly, throughout the Old Testament, you can read it for yourself, and really the Old Testament is a type and a shadow of the chosen people to come, the New Testament church. And basically, the Bible is telling us that there's going to come a people that just because that they received the Holy Ghost, just because they've been baptized in Jesus' name, because they've experienced this new birth, doesn't mean that everything's just going to be hunky-dory. Amen. God sent the day of visitation, and so let me try to make a little bit more progress here. Amen. There's more examples. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 21. I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidst, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. So even God recognizes pattern. He's saying this is a repeat occasion. This is not just a singular moment in time. Every time I try to come to you, every time I give you a command, every time I try to direct you, you obey not my voice from your youth, from the youth of the nation of Israel. Amen. As I mentioned, this is not the only time that God sent judgment to the children of Israel. Another of the prophets that the Lord used was what we read in our text in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 3. It says, what will you do, child of God, in the day of visitation? I'm coming with a distinct purpose. We are living today in 2026 in a day of visitation where God more frequently visits with us than he ever did in these Old Testament days, in the days of antiquity, the days before history was ever, amen, begun to be tracked outside of the Word of God. Amen. We know that God has reached down on repeat occasion to the children of Israel. And the Bible tells us in Revelation that he again will reach out to his nation, his chosen people. Yet we stand right now, amen, in the middle of this sandwich of time, if you will. Amen. And God is reaching out to us as his chosen people. Amen. In the same manner and in the same way, and has chosen to meet with us. My question then for you today is, what will you do in the day of visitation when the Spirit of God comes? Amen. Will you, as the Jews did, reject the commands of God? Will you in this day, as the Jews did, amen, turn your back on God, or will you respond in obedience? Hallelujah. We're going somewhere. I'm just trying to lay some groundwork here today. Amen. I want you to see, amen, the comparison. I want you to see the pattern. Amen. God is not mocked. God knows. God's not ignorant, amen, about the season and the day that we are living in. Amen. The enemy would like to try to blind us and say, amen, God's just playing games, and we're just going on, and we're just going through the motions. Amen. But this is not what is happening. On this day of Pentecost, I'm here to tell the truth, church, that God has a plan and God has a purpose for every soul in this building. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Boy, it's hot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So my question, what's your plan? What are you going to do in the day of visitation? Maybe this is something new to you. Maybe you've been in a denominational church your entire life. Amen. Maybe you've been in a traditional organization your entire life, whatever tradition you're affiliated with, whatever tradition you're associated with, or whatever tradition you're familiar with. But I would tell you that even you have had opportunities. I don't believe God allows anybody, amen, to live their life without giving them at least one single point in time, a day of visitation, an opportunity, amen, to hear the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. For even those down, amen, in the wildernesses in Africa or in India or wherever, I'm here to tell you that God's mercy is sufficient. God's grace even is more sufficient. We sang about it just a few moments ago. Amen. The words of that song were implying the scripture that holds the eternal truth that where sin did abound, grace doth much more abound. God's grace is sufficient. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Bible tells us Jesus, when he came to earth and he began looking around, he began to work, amen, and appeal to his chosen people. The Bible tells us this in John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them the eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. When God comes to visit with his people, amen, he's coming with a purpose. He's looking for those who have opened their ears to hear his voice. Hallelujah. I'm trying to make some groundwork. I know we're covering a lot of scripture. If you've got any questions, I mentioned this on Tuesday, maybe new policy around here. If I'm not clear as I'm preaching, then I open myself up. Ask any question that you might have. I'm not scared of questions. I want you to understand, if I've taken the time to put together, amen, a message for you, amen, that I believe the Lord has put on my heart, I think it's important that you understand it. And so if you've got questions, I'm not afraid, amen, to have a conversation with you to help you to understand, as long as the questions are well-intentioned. Amen. I submit to you that the reason for a visitation from God is not exclusively, as we have read in Jeremiah, not exclusively to provide judgment, albeit in many cases throughout the Word of God, God used his time of visitation to provide judgment. In fact, in Jesus' own ministry, it was a form of judgment on the Jewish traditionalists. And so, but what did Jesus say was his primary purpose when he came? In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come. I'm visiting with you. I'm coming to seek and to save that which was lost." I'd like to submit to you that the ultimate reason for any visitation of the Holy Ghost or a visitation of Jesus is to save that which was lost. Amen. However, for those who are not prepared, there is certain judgment that will come in the day of visitation. The day of visitation is a point in time where Jesus has said, I'm working with you. I'm going to appeal to you. I'm appealing to your mind. I'm appealing to your spirit. I'm appealing to your heart. And I want you to reason with me. I want you to work with me. I want you to understand the commands of God. Amen. But when I come, I'm not coming just to play games. I'm coming to seek. I'm coming to save.
Hallelujah. Amen. Church. Amen. Perhaps it's because of the convenience of life or the days that we're living in. Amen. But we get too easily caught up. Amen. In the humdrum and the distractions of life. And we forget the reason that Jesus has come. He's come to save. He's come not to just play church. We didn't come to just play patty cake. Amen. I'm thankful that those of you who have come this morning did not come to just go through the motions. Did not come to just see one another in the beautiful dress or the beautiful hairdo or the nice suit or the nice tie. It has nothing to do with our physical appearance. What we've come to do, amen, is to have a visitation with God. Hallelujah. I sense that. I believe that. Amen. I know that there are many here, amen, that have exactly that desire and purpose. Amen. Amen. It's only available to us because of the day that we're honoring today with the day of Pentecost. It was the first day of Pentecost, or the first day of visitation in the New Testament. Amen. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Let me back up just a little bit. Amen. For every person, I believe God orchestrates at least one point in time for them to hear the gospel. Amen. To hear the truth, amen, to prepare for that day of visitation. Amen. There's coming a day, my brother or my sister, amen, where one last time God will visit with his people, and the purpose of that visitation is to take us home. Amen. There will be no more preparation. There will be no more readying or preparing. No more time to repent. Amen. In that day, in that final visitation, when God takes us home. Hallelujah. The Son of Man comes to seek and to save. Amen. But there's coming a day where the Son of Man will come yet again, and he will take his bride home with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor has said that wherever the Lord goes, if he determines he's going to visit at any location, amen, he goes there with purpose. You can read about that in John chapter 4. Amen. When Jesus decided that he's going through Samaria, the Bible says that he must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because he had a visitation. He had a visit. He had a moment on his calendar that he was planning. I'm going to meet with this young lady. Amen. She is the outcast of society. She doesn't have any hope. Amen. Where she's at home. Amen. But I've got a point of visitation. And I'm not going to bring judgment in that case. I'm going to bring mercy and hope and promise. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Acts chapter 17, verse 21, the Bible tells us that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he not be far from every one of us. Every one of us have an opportunity to visit with the Lord. Every one of us have this opportunity, amen, to walk with him and to talk with him. Amen. Job chapter 10 and 12, one of the oldest books of the Bible, tells us about the opportunity that Joel had to visit with him. The Bible says, thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. Amen. God has always desired and planned and provided that we could visit with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in one great, and I've alluded to it already, so let's focus in a little bit on this. Amen. When Christ came to earth, what a visitation. Amen. The powerful ministry that he exhibited while he was on this earth. So many things were accomplished in that time when Jesus walked the earth. Amen. He exhibited what the church ought to behave like. Amen. How they ought to reach those who are on the backside of society. Amen. He exhibited love and truth. Amen. The Bible says we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In Jesus' ministry, in that visitation, amen, so much was accomplished. Hallelujah. 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 I feel the burden of God's word right now. Amen. I think we're about to get to where we need to be. Amen. God did not just set up this day, amen, so you could check it off of your list for the week, Sister Lisa. Amen. And say, hey, I went to church. Amen. It's not designed. Amen. The day of visitation is not designed as just an ordinary moment in time. Hallelujah. God has a purpose in this service. Before we leave this place, I'm praying that God will accomplish that purpose. Amen. But he's a gentleman. He's not going to force his will upon you. Amen. He's not going to force his way upon you. You've got to be open to it. Amen. Isaiah chapter 28 and 11 tells us of a day where rest would come. another day of visitation. The Bible says, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, and to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he will cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. And sure enough, in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, there's yet another prophecy, amen, about the visitation that would come. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. I'm going to visit with you. Amen. I've heard Bishop make the statement that through the prophet Joel, God was saying that he would pour his spirit out after the visitation. If you back up to verse 27 of chapter 2 in Joel, the Bible says, ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. What did he say? He said, I'm in the midst of Israel. And then verse 28 comes after that. After what? After when Jesus was in the midst of Israel. After the day of visitation. That's when the Spirit of God was poured out. Amen. Amen. Isaiah prophesied of the time that Jesus would come and the things that he would do when he visits. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, Brother Nelson, without realizing it, amen, quoted this passage of scripture, amen, in our opening moments of this service. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Amen. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto him, unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Amen. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the plants of the Lord, that he might be glorified. All of this in the day of visitation. All of these things. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but what I begin to think of as I read this passage, amen, is all the way back in the day, amen, where Adam and Eve were in the garden. Amen. The beauty that the prophet describes in this place. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. The oil of joy for mourning. Beauty for ashes. Amen. Every instance where this world, amen, would bear down on our shoulders and produce a life, amen, of treachery and hatefulness, amen, and even desire, amen, for much more wickedness. Jesus said, amen, the prophet said of Jesus, there's coming a day, amen, where the man will come, amen, and in that day of visitation, amen, we'll replace those heavy spirits. We'll replace that mourning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, in fulfillment of this prophecy, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus stood up in the synagogue and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I'm here. The day of visitation has come. Hallelujah. All you that are heavy laden, come. I will give you rest. The brokenhearted, come. I'll put it back together. Those of you who are sick, physically, spiritually, I can heal. I was talking to my cousin the other day. We were down in Nashville, and he told me he was studying the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. And he noticed, and Bishop actually talked about this in his study on the gifts of the Spirit, but he noticed that when you go through the list of the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts, talking about gifts of healing, the Bible does not say the gift of healing. He describes it as the gifts, plural, of healing. Gifts. Meaning that there are more than one. I'm telling you, when God comes, the modern challenges that we're facing, they talk about mental illness. They talk about emotional hurt and damage. Back in the day, it used to be a broken foot or at worst, a broken heart. But anymore, there's more complications. But I'm here to tell you that God's Spirit is not unprepared. In the day of visitation, God has every capacity to heal. God has every capacity to meet your need. I don't care, amen, the source of the pain. I don't care the source of the brokenness. When that day of visitation comes, I'm telling you, God has the power to heal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. I'm about halfway there. Amen. I mentioned in my opening remarks that Jesus purchased, just a few moments ago, the purpose of Jesus' visitation when he came was to seek and to save. When he came, it was to save. He's not just playing games, but his purpose is to reach. In Peter's second sermon, Acts chapter 3, he teaches that the holy prophets, when they prophesied of the coming of Jesus. But if you pay close attention, it's not just referring to the time when Jesus came as a baby. Yes, the prophecies are there for that time. But he's talking about yet another time. A day in which Jesus' power would be exhibited, where Jesus would move, amen. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, Peter, appealing to those great prophets of old, he said this, "Repent ye, therefore, prepare for the day of visitation, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." When that time of visitation comes, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, not the baby in a manger, amen, but Jesus Christ, the fully matured being, amen, in whom the Spirit of God moved and operated, which before was preached unto you by those prophets. In verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. This has been the plan from the beginning, amen, from the time, amen, when sin entered into this world through the disobedience of Adam and Eve. Amen. God said, I've got to work until I can restore all things. And so in that moment, amen, he began to plan for a man by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to come unto this scene, amen, and to visit with his people, amen, to restore such an one. Amen. Church, let me tell you, amen, when you get into the business of restoring some who have fallen away, friend, you're operating in the same ministry that Jesus was when he walked on this earth. Hallelujah. Until the times of restitution of all things, God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets. Hallelujah. I've heard it said by Elder Howard, amen, at Advent, that this is an ongoing act of God until the time of restitution, amen, of all things. When God began to pour out his Spirit, it began on the day of Pentecost. When God began to pour out his Spirit, the purpose of the pouring out of the Spirit was restitution. If you look at the word restitution in this passage, amen, Brother Nelson, you and I didn't plan. We didn't coordinate, amen, but God knew, amen, his purpose for this service, amen. But the term restitution in the original means the restoration not only of the true theocracy, which would be the nation of Israel submitted to God's direction as king, amen, but also, amen, it would be that more perfect state of even physical things which existed before the fall. That's not Jared. That's Thayer's Greek dictionary of that particular word. Amen. His statement there is that when restitution comes, it's a complete and thorough restoration. It's a complete and total restoration. Amen. The purpose of judgment is so that you know, amen, what needs to be restored. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to make a statement here. Amen. It's kind of out of character for me, but I'm going to make this statement right now. Amen. And I hope those of you who are spiritual, amen, will heed my voice in these next few moments. Amen. We've been battling at this church. Amen. A spiritual battle for the last few days. Amen. Yea, even a couple of weeks. And I want to appeal to those of you who have any concern whatsoever. Amen. That God would fight for us. That God would send his angels. amen, to do battle for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I spent much of the night last night. I'm not patting myself on the back. Amen. But I want to just tell you, I spent much of the night last night. Amen. Praying and seeking God. Amen. I knew, amen, in my spirit that there would be some new ones here today. And my prayer for you, amen, is that God would visit you in such a unique, amen, distinct way that you might experience the power of restitution in this service. Hallelujah. Amen. But yet others, amen, that are here, amen, that are not necessarily new, amen, but need restoration even in this service. I'm here to tell you that the day of visitation has come. Hallelujah. I joined Jesus. I'm not saying I am Jesus. Amen. But I've come in the ministry of restoration, of restitution. And as Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me. I've come to preach to you. I've come to try to help you. I've come to try to show to you. Amen. Jesus is in this place. He's not here just playing patty cake. He's not here, amen, just to toy with your emotions. He's here for complete and total restoration. Church, let's pray right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We can only do so much in our flesh as you continue to pray. We can only accomplish so much in our flesh. At some point, we need the Spirit of God to meet with us. God has been so careful to meet with us. Amen. In recent services, He's been so gracious. He's been so kind. Jesus did not come in His ministry to hate people, to destroy them, to tear them down. When He preached, it was hard. It was clear. It was directed. But does anybody here think that He hated the people He was preaching to? No. No. I'm going to skip down, Brother Josh. If I could find this verse. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Listen to what, these are Jesus' words. Then began He to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done. You know what the word upbraid means? He began with passion to yell, to correct. He began to upbraid them. Well, that's not very nice, Jesus. The words that You said are not very kind. There's a reason. He began to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not. Verse 21, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in thee, in you, had been done in Tyre and Sidon, then they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment, in that day of visitation, than for you. Verse 23, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell, for if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom. Sodom and Gomorrah? Yeah, that Sodom. If the works that were done, if I had come, if I had visited with Sodom, and the works that I did here, I had done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. I never would have had to send judgment. I never would have had to send that corrective action. I would never have had to do that. Verse 24, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. In that final day of visitation, when everything is settled, it's going to be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than for Capernaum. Why? Because they didn't repent. Because there was no repentance. This is the purpose for God's visitation. We must prepare ourselves. We must, as children of God, no matter how great His love, He still requires from us repentance. He still has expectations for you and me. Luke chapter 19, verse 41, Jesus, in a similar spirit, says these words, when He was come near, He beheld the city, and He wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they're hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Jesus, looking over the city of Jerusalem, His chosen city, this beautiful place where was great promise, so many prophecies and stories told about this place, He said, I'm not going to leave one stone on another. Why? Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Because you weren't prepared for the time of visitation. I could very easily take this message and preach about that great notable day of our Lord when He comes. And I believe that it applies to this for sure. But in my heart, and the reason that I was rolling in this carpet last night was not because of that day that would come, but because of today. Come on, church, let's talk to the Lord right now. Of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels, but my Father only. Of course, He's talking about that great day that would come. But even the day that would come, God did not leave us totally unprepared. What did He do? He gave us signs. He said, here's how you'll know when the day's coming close. I've come to issue a warning to someone, amen, that today may be the visitation of God for you, amen. And no, God is not here exclusively for judgment, but if that's the only thing that you will hear, amen, then that's the only option that He has. But if you will, and if you will allow Him, it will come with restoration and complete and total restitution. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. James 5 and 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Church, amen, we ought to be patient right now. Amen, as the Spirit of the Lord begins to move. Amen, for the coming of the Lord, the visitation of God is in this house. Amen, when these things begin to come to pass, Luke 21 and 28 says, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. For some, the day of visitation is clear and stark judgment. Amen. But for others, those who have prepared, those who have repented, it's a day of restitution. Hallelujah. Let's talk to the Lord right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sister Tori, you can come. Amen. Romans 13 and 11, my last Bible verse says this: and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awaken out of sleep. For now is our salvation. Now is our salvation. Now is your day of visitation. Let's all pray right now. These altars are open.